Our speaker today served as governor of Illinois. There are a few things I would like to share with you. Number one, our guest today's frequent attendance at City Club of Chicago events and encouraging his leadership team to speak right here while he served as governor is deeply appreciated. Number two, the City Club of Chicago is enormously grateful to him for, number one, both visiting and speaking at Misericordia on City Club-sponsored events and at Special Olympics events, and two, encouraging everyone in the City of Club of Chicago spirit to, quote, give back in the same enormous measure they have received. And number three, the bottom line, his efforts helped tremendously in our team effort at the City Club to raise millions of dollars for children and adults with special needs. Ladies and gentlemen, Governor Pat Quinn. Governor?
All right, Patrick.
Hey, good to see you. Well, thank you very much to Jay Doherty and to the City Club and to everyone who has come here today. I was here last on January of 2015, right before I left office, and I was always grateful to the City Club for the opportunity to speak about important issues and to answer questions and to visit. I think all of us miss Paul Green. He was here that day, and he was just a mainstay, a man for all seasons, a fellow who really... He helped educate all of us. He was a professor, but he understood that his classroom was far more than just a university. It was all of us. And he talked about democracy. So that's my topic today, but I did want to salute Paul and also Tom Roser, who's passed on. Tom was a good friend, and with Jay, they really put vitality into this organization. And it's so important, I think, to our state and definitely here to the city, to have a place where you can come and talk about important issues, defend your position, and also listen to others. So I want to thank the City Club and all those who have come to these luncheons and breakfasts over many years for your interest in democracy. It so happens that today, October 18th of 2016, would have been my mother's 99th birthday. She passed away. My mom passed away last November at 98 plus, and when you really think about it, she was born in 1917 when women did not have the right to vote in America. That was before the passage of the Constitutional Amendment in 1920. So a lot of things happened in her lifetime, especially expanding the right to vote, the opportunity to participate. Whether you're a person of color or someone who was 18, we had to pass important laws and constitutional amendments to make sure that the opportunity to really participate by voting in a democracy was protected and expanded. And in fact, when I was governor, I signed bills for online registration for people who wanted to register to vote by using the internet. We also were able, right before I left, to sign a bill that allows people to register on Election Day. And that happened back in 2014. And this spring, in the March primary, literally thousands and thousands of people used that opportunity. So I think it's very important. And I do support automatic voter registration, where you renew your driver's license or some other act with the state government that you would automatically be registered. And I want to salute all of those. Chicago Votes was very involved in that with many, many more people. Joyce Foundation helped. I think George Shung is here. It's very important that we keep expanding the opportunity to participate in our democracy. And then today, before I get started on petition drive that I'm directly working on, I did want to salute folks who have been in the vineyard of petition passing for a local binding referendum right here in Chicago. It's on the west side. It's called the Community Expanded Mental Health Program. I think we have Mike Schnattiger and Robin Watson. Why don't you guys stand up for your good work? As you know, there have been cutbacks in mental health clinics here in the city of Chicago, and a bill was passed, put on my desk, and I signed it into law that allows citizens to petition in their neighborhood to establish a mental health district for expanded care, to make sure that everyone would have free mental health care if they had nowhere else to go. And my friend Pete O'Brien is here today with the Kennedy Forum. He's very, very involved in mental health initiatives, and we've already passed one of these expanded mental health districts in Chicago on the north side, and Mike and Robin are working on a referendum that's going to be voted on November 8th on the west side. And I think we need to keep doing this in every part of the city of Chicago because it is a local binding referendum that people can put on the ballot. They decide whether they want to have a modest tax increase in order to fund this mental health district. But there's hardly a more important issue on health care than making sure we have parity with respect to mental health and physical health. And I really salute folks in the neighborhood who gathered 10,000 signatures on the west side of Chicago to make this happen this year in this election. And also on the ballot, countywide, it's an advisory referendum, but it basically calls on our state to have earned sick leave for all the workers of Illinois, for people who are working hard, who have not one sick day. There's something wrong with that. If somebody gets sick or a family member gets sick, we ought to have earned sick leave in our state as the law. And two years ago in Massachusetts, it was an initiative on the ballot, the whole state, they passed it into law. It's now the law of the land in Massachusetts and a number of other states around the country. And I want to thank Ron Powell of the United Food and Commercial Workers. Why don't you stand up, Ron, for your efforts in this area. Thanks to Ron and many volunteers, it was passed by the City Council just last week, the County Board for Cook County. But we have a lot of other counties in Illinois, 101 counties. And using the power of petition and referendum, it is a good way to have the voice of the people heard. Andrea Rayla, who's in the back, and William Morgan, who's here, they both went out and led a petition drive to put the earned sick leave referendum on the Cook County ballot, calling for this to be the law of Illinois. And I know something about that because in 1982, we did a similar effort for a petition and referendum for the Citizen Utility Board. I brought the original envelope of the Citizen Utility Board. I know it's Commonwealth Edison didn't come as much today. I don't know why. But it's a very fine company, and I like the people there. However, one of their lobbyists, who I'm sure has since retired, told me back then when we were putting Cub on the 1982 ballot, the Illinois' largest consumer group, it's been around now for a third of a century, he said, "Quinn, in a million years, that'll never pass in Springfield. We'll kill it." And it passed in 1 year because we used the power of referendum to get it on the ballot for the people to speak. And we went all across Illinois, not only here in Chicago, but across the state, giving voters a chance to vote for a consumer group that would represent their interests when it came to utility companies. And so I think that shows, again, what people can do when they put their minds to it as far as passing petitions and having referendum votes. Votes on issues as well as candidates. And that's why I did want to speak about a very important petition drive that occurred in our state this past year or two. It was put together by a lot of well-meaning, hard-working citizens of all different backgrounds, Democrat, Republican, Independent, all regions. They understood that redistricting reform was necessary in Illinois and wanted to put it on this year's ballot. Well, there were obviously some challenges there, and the Supreme Court decided that it didn't meet the exact specifications of the Illinois Constitution. But I want to tell, and I know she's here today, Christy Hefner and Rod Joy is here, who are involved in the movement and organizers of the movement, don't give up. It's very, very important, I think, for those citizens of Illinois who want to vote on this issue, that in the next election, in 2018, we can put redistricting reform on the ballot. We may have to revise the petition a little bit, but it can be done. More than 500,000 people signed that petition, and it is quite sad that we aren't going to have a chance to vote in a binding referendum this fall on that. I know 40 years ago, I passed a petition all across Illinois to have ethics put into the Constitution, for example, ending advanced pay for politicians, stopping double dipping, preventing conflict of interest voting. We gathered 635,158 signatures, the all-time record in Illinois. But when we filed our petition, there was a challenge. The insiders are always going to challenge you. And the court held that ethics could not be put on the constitutional statewide ballot in Illinois. It was a severe disappointment. At least in that year, we were able to get a statute passed that ended advance pay for legislators in Illinois. For 100 years, legislators would get sworn into office and collect their entire annual pay on that first day, before they did a single day's work. If they retired and resigned, they still kept the money they took in advance. If they went to jail, as some of them did, they still kept the money they took in advance. And people didn't like that. The bill to end that practice was defeated in committee 17-3. Matter of fact, the sponsor of the committee, his nickname, he was a rookie, was Bad Bill Byers. He put in a bad bill and advance pay. But we, the people, gathered signatures on a petition. And while we didn't get a constitutional amendment, we did get a law passed against that practice. And when I got introduced to the General Assembly that year, a fellow named Mike Madigan was presiding at the time. They were introducing the 4-H Queen from Macomb and the Cub Scouts from Carbondale. And then somebody pointed up and said, there's that Pat Quinn up in the gallery. I got a standing ovation of 3 minutes from the members of the General Assembly. So you got to have a tough hide. And I would say to all of those who work so hard and diligently on the independent maps movement, redistricting reform can happen in Illinois. And I drafted a measure that's simple and clean and pristine. It's very simple. And I think that's the best way to meet the court test. The court did not say redistricting is off limits for constitutional initiative or the people can pass petitions. And after we lost that battle in 1976, we came back in 1980 and gathered almost 500,000 signatures to put a referendum on the ballot that reduced the size of the Illinois General Assembly, the House. And that was on the ballot, and the people voted for it, and it was binding. And it was the only time in Illinois history, in the whole state history since 1818, that voters have been able, by their petition, to put a binding statewide referendum on the ballot. And I think we can do better than that, because Illinois' bicentennial is in 2018, 200 years, one binding referendum that is initiated by the people of Illinois. All over the Midwest, all over our country, people are voting on important issues that they themselves have petitioned onto the ballot. And so I really hope to work with folks here and everywhere that we can, in our bicentennial year of Illinois, make that a year of voter democracy in Illinois, to open up some of the roadblocks that have been erected over 200 years so citizens don't have a chance to vote on binding questions. For example, we had an advisory referendum on raising the minimum wage in 2014. I signed that bill to at least give voters a chance to give their advice. But in Arkansas, and this year in four other states, Colorado and Maine, and I think the state of Washington, Arizona, they're voting on whether to raise the minimum wage, and the people make the law. And we should have that same right here in the land of Lincoln, government of the people. And that's why I'm involved right now in a petition drive for a binding referendum in our city of Chicago. Because when the drafters of the Illinois Constitution did their work and was ratified by the voters in a referendum in 1970, this is our Illinois Constitution, they did for the first time give some binding referendum powers to voters at the local level, at the municipal and county level. This was unheard of in our state, but basically the drafters of the Constitution felt that sometimes the people in power, at local office, would become too accustomed to their power, concentrating their power, and not letting a lot of fresh air in. So it was put into the Illinois Constitution in the local government article, a binding referendum initiative process where voters at the local level can put term limits on their local officials. They can also change officers in their local government from appointed officers to elected officers in order to make sure the voters were in charge of their local government. Now, this has been used in Illinois in 20 different states or cities, places like Springfield, where Jackie's from, and Naperville, and Oak Lawn, and Des Plaines, and on. Many, many communities of Illinois have used the power that's already outlined in the Illinois Constitution to put term limits on their mayor. Usually it's a two-term limit, similar to what the president has, and it's worked very well. And matter of fact, this election in Cook County, there are four communities voting on that exact referendum in their towns. In addition, around the country, if you look at the 10 largest cities in America, the 10 biggest cities, all of them have term limits on their mayor except one city, Chicago. New York has term limits on the mayor, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Houston, San Antonio, San Diego, San Jose, you name it. People have, I think, especially when it comes to municipal offices, the office of mayor, recognized that having a two-term limit is a good way to go to avoid any one mayor concentrating their power. Especially in this age of super PACs and big money in politics, it's better to have what the play Hamilton points out very clearly with George Washington. He could have been, I suppose, like King George III in England. King George III was on the throne for 59 years. And he was amazed, King George, that George Washington of the United States of America voluntarily stepped aside after two terms as president. He couldn't get over it. But Washington understood that we have a democracy, that we don't want in a democracy to have a House of Lords, that we don't want concentrated power. The founding fathers called it rotation of office. And people like Jefferson and Madison and Hamilton and Ben Franklin all believed that no one person should have the same office for too long, and two terms were enough. And so I think that's something we should really think about here in the city of Chicago. At the same time, we're passing petitions to put this on the ballot. We need to get 52,519 signatures by December of next year to give voters a chance to vote on this in the next election. We hope to get at least 100,000 signatures, and while we're gathering signatures for term limits on the mayor, we're also gathering signatures on the same petition to establish an elected consumer advocate in the city of Chicago. Now, in New York, they have a public advocate who is elected by all the voters of the city of New York. Matter of fact, the current mayor, Bill de Blasio, used to be the elected public advocate. And the public advocate in New York, similar to what we're talking about, we call a consumer advocate, is someone who is an ombudsman, a word in Swedish that means the people's person, someone you can go to if you have a grievance, if you have something that's falling through the cracks of the bureaucracy, someone who will stand up for consumers and taxpayers against unfairness and against inequality. I know that it's very, very important to have somebody you can turn to when things aren't going the right way. And right now in our city, we have an appointed person who is the head of the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection. This office used to be called Consumer Services, but now it's called Business Affairs and Consumer Protection. One person they're appointed. I'm sure they're a nice person. But rather than have an appointee of the mayor do that job, we should do what New York City has done for the last quarter century and have an elected person running not only that department, that office, that agency, but also under our petition, we've given the consumer advocate some other duties. One of those duties is to monitor the city's compliance with the Freedom of Information Act, which is a state law, which unfortunately Chicago has regularly not abided by. Matter of fact, 400 days went by before a judge had ordered the city to stop stonewalling with respect to a Freedom of Information Act that was very important, that it really unveiled something that we all know has to be addressed and solved and resolved. The city did not comply with the Freedom of Information Act after that terrible event occurred on October 20th, 2 years ago. And so there ought to be somebody who monitors their work, somebody in city government who's independent of the mayor, independent of the bureaucracy, who makes sure that information does flow to the people who are the ones who are in charge of our city government. The same way the city used to have the Department of Environment, and one of their excellent leaders is here today. Currently, they abolished the Department of Environment. I could never understand that. I was Lieutenant Governor of Illinois and then Governor. We had a Clean Water Initiative. We did many things with the Department, the Illinois Environmental Agency, Protection Agency. But the city mysteriously ended their Department of Environment. Well, there ought to be someone, the consumer advocate, that fights according to our Constitution to promote a healthful environment for this and future generations. So that, again, was a duty of the consumer advocate. I think it's important to have a person who is a strong voice for our environment, for freedom of information, for taxpayers, for consumers. And so that is something we can put on the ballot at the next election. It would be March of 2018 now. And in order to get that adopted, the people would have to vote in favor of it. So these are two binding referendums. One is term limiting the mayor. The other is electing a consumer advocate in the biggest city in our state, third largest in the country. And part of the reason that I'm involved in this is because I do believe in the power of grassroots democracy. I think we need to expand voting. My mom had a fight to get the vote for women. She was 3 years old, but she got the fight and won, okay? But that was back in 1920. And why don't we, in our city of Chicago and our state of Illinois, get to vote on more issues? Not just candidates who sometimes squabble. Just over the last year and a half, more than year and a half now, looking at the events in Springfield, what if voters in our state had a chance by petition to put issues on the statewide ballot to help resolve some of the gridlock and controversy that occurs in Springfield? What if voters in Chicago didn't have just an advisory right to urge that there be an elected school board in the city of Chicago, the way they have in 859 other school districts in Illinois, every single one, but could actually enact a law by their petition and referendum votes? I really feel we need to open up the opportunity to vote on important issues, whether it's minimum wage or an elected school board or ethics in government or consumer protection or making sure that we have redistricting reform or making sure that those who are in office don't get the attitude of King George III that they're the ruler and we're the ruled. As President Obama recently said, the history of our country is we don't like to be ruled by people who are in office for too long. We understand that it's important to have grassroots democracy bubble up from the grassroots. And that's what's happening across the Midwest. That's what's happening across America. And it's time to make democracy bloom in Illinois. So in these next 2 years, I intend to work as hard as I can with good people to hopefully have a redistricting reform measure on the 2018 ballot, to have on that ballot an opportunity to put term limits on the mayor of Chicago and elect a person who's going to be a strong consumer advocate for the people of this city, and there's lots of other opportunities to do the same and make the will of people the law of the land. Thank you very much.
Okay, so if you have some questions, and I see there's one coming right up here. Excellent. Well, there's several people that asked the same question. Tim Egan from the New Roseland Hospital. We need you back in office. What office will you run for next?
Well, I want to thank Tim. I appointed Tim to help rescue Roseland Hospital, a very important hospital, a very important neighborhood. And it needed a strong hand, and Tim has provided that over the last several years. And he's really done a magnificent job saving jobs for the people who worked at the hospital, but most importantly, helping expand decent health care across that neighborhood. And matter of fact, when I was governor, I signed the bill to expand health care coverage in our state. And we've added about 1 million people, thanks to President Obama, Affordable Care Act, and getting that passed in Illinois. And people like Tim are important folks in that. I have run for office. I've won, and I've lost. One day you're a peacock, the next day you're a feather duster, okay? So you don't always win. But you never give up, and you always find another hill to climb. So that's what I'm kind of back to the future. I started passing petitions for referendums 40 years ago, and we've collected, the groups I've been with, over 4 million signatures in that time. But too often, we've been roadblocked. That's what happened this year with the independent maps. You know, it's very hard to take that. And so I think we really need a rebirth of citizen action in our state in the next 2 years to put on the ballot in 2018, when we celebrate 200 years as a state, some important reforms that are long overdue. So that's really what I'm committed to. And whether I run for office or not, I don't know. But I know I am going to be committed to expanding grassroots democracy wherever I can find it.
Thank you. I've got a couple questions here. There are a couple people here who seem to know an awful lot about some non-public things going on in your life, so I'll try to work this in. Jane Johnson, where are you, Jane? Way in the back, City Club member, and the irrepressible Von Steuben High School graduate, Graham Grady. Where are you, Graham? Well, I've got his name on a question. I guess he doesn't want to put his hand up. Governor, do you have a takeaway experience from your race with Rauner that was so close, most people regret now, and do you plan to run again for public office?
Yeah. Well, I was here 2 years ago, and it was a hard-fought campaign. I had signed a bill for limiting campaign contributions. It was the first time in Illinois there was ever any limitations on contributions. And I thought it was a good reform. And we had to sign a lot of legislation and pass reforms after I became governor. I inherited the worst economic recession and situation Illinois ever had since the Great Depression. But we also had an ethics depression after my predecessor was impeached and removed from office. So we had to do a lot of reforms. And one of them, the campaign finance, I thought was a good one. I abided by it. But it did have a provision that if a self-funder came along and broke all the limits with their own spending, then the limits would be taken away in that election. And I always regret that Rauner didn't abide by the limits that I had abided by for about 3 years. He decided he wanted to, you know, spend unlimited, almost infinite money. It was about $70 million. And I don't think that's a healthy thing for any democracy to have $1, one vote, as opposed to one person, one vote. And I think, really, that's one of the reasons I believe so much in petition and referendum, that in this day and age of big money and super PACs, that may be oftentimes the only way voters can get reforms adopted. Rauner was opposed to the minimum wage. I believe in raising the minimum wage. But we only had an advisory referendum. And that hasn't ever been voted on by the Illinois House. And if we had what Arkansas had, binding referendum, we would have raised the minimum wage back in 2014. And voters are voting on that in other states this year. So sometimes that's the only way to get around big money, is to do it with shoe leather and everyday people. So it's frankly sad to see some of the things that have gone on. I really feel Illinois is on four flat tires. And, you know, when you're in office, when you're governor, you got to tell the truth. Tell it straight to the voters. Sometimes it's tough medicine. And there are those in politics who want to tell people what they want to hear rather than what they need to know. And I had to tell the people of Illinois in the election of 2010, we needed more revenue to pay the bills, to pay the pensions, to make sure we had schools and hospitals and public safety. I won that election. It was close, but I won in a Tea Party year. But I didn't win in 2014. So I'm never going to deviate from the message that it's much better to tell people the truth. And for those who don't, they end up with a $15 billion deficit, and they have to figure out how to get out of it.
Thank you. Okay, then a follow-up from Graham and from Jane. Pat, you have been seen in the company of a 33-year-old regularly. How is Betsy? And Jane wants to know if there are wedding bells in your future. Do you have a big announcement to make today?
Well, Betsy is a nickname that my assistant, Lou Bertuca, gave to my briefcase that is 33 years old. All right. Soon to be 34. I got on my birthday in 1982. It survived a lot. I've gone to Iraq. I've gone to Afghanistan. I've been all over. But Betsy is still there. Now, it wasn't dire straits. I went to a shoemaker, Tony's Shoe Clinic, and somehow he rescued it and put it back together again. So it's alive and well, and I'm sure I'll be married to it for the rest of my life.
Pretty good answer, huh? Governor, many years ago, you led the drive to reduce the membership in the Illinois House of Representatives. You said that this would save the citizens of Illinois a great deal of money. Other people have said it has made the House less responsive because we had minority-majority representation. Could you reflect back on that? And if you had to do it again in light of the history over the several decades, was it a positive or perhaps a negative?
Well, it's called the cutback amendment, and it's the only one in 200 years that the people petitioned onto the ballot in Illinois. It reduced the size of the Illinois House from 177 members to 118. And it said that all those remaining members had to be elected from a single-member district. Now, when you say minority, that certainly didn't apply to people of color. Under the old system, which is a very confusing system, it had multi-member districts and cumulative voting. Never in the history of Illinois under that system was one person, one Latino person, ever elected to the House of Representatives. Now there's quite a few. Same way with African-American representation, its percentage greatly increased with the smaller House. So single-member districts, I think, are the best way to hold members accountable. And I don't have regrets. It passed 2-1 in 1980, 68%. If it was on the ballot today, it passed by even more. I don't think voters are interested in increasing the size of the Illinois House by 59. But having said that, I do think, and what Christie and Rajoy and others were involved in this year, redistricting reform, I think is a good way to go to make sure that districts, all districts, are drawn properly, fairly. And I just saw yesterday President Obama is intending to make this one of his important causes when he leaves office, to go around America to make sure there are independent commissions established in order to draw fair districts that aren't biased in any way. So I think that's an important reform for Illinois. And in my view, it can be petitioned onto the ballot as a binding referendum in 2018 for the voters to vote on. And I've drafted that, and I look forward to working with folks here and everywhere we probably have to get another 500,000 signatures, but we can do it. We're people from Illinois. We're tough. We know how to make things happen, and we should take charge at the state level to get redistricting reform that's long overdue.
Thank you. We have time for a couple more questions. Jonathan Edelman. Jonathan, where are you? Good. Okay, stand up. Be recognized. Are you running for office? Okay, that's what I figured your scratches indicated. Gentleman's a Republican candidate. It must be the 15th district. Anyhow, whatever that is. You commendably want more people to vote on more issues, but the reality is that only one half of the people vote. What do you propose to fix that sad fact?
Well, I think that's a very good question that Jonathan raises. Compared to some other countries around the world, it is disappointing that in America, which began democracy on planet Earth, the first democracy, the best democracy, we don't have enough people vote. Too many people stay home. Now, I do think we can make some changes, reforms, that make it easier to register to vote, which has always been the biggest barrier for many people to vote. That's why I signed the bill for same-day election day registration. You can register on the same day you vote. I also believe in automatic voter registration, and we're going to have to override Rauner's veto of that measure. He vetoed something that had bipartisan support, passed with good, healthy majorities in the House and Senate. And automatic voter registration means when you go to the Secretary of State and renew your driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote unless you opt out. So I think that's important. I believe in open primaries. I don't think you should have to declare your party publicly. It says in the law, in a loud and distinct voice, you have to say in a loud and distinct voice your political party in order to vote in the primary. I don't think that's necessary at all. Matter of fact, it's recorded, and it's a permanent record of how you voted in a primary, what party. And I don't think that's necessary, and Wisconsin doesn't do it. A number of other states don't either. So that would be a way of encouraging more people to vote in primaries. I also signed a bill when I was governor to allow 17-year-olds to vote in a primary if they were going to be 18 by the time of the November election. And that idea came from a high school class. So I think we need to think of these methods to encourage participation. But to be honest, sometimes when you see candidates fighting, you know, especially one we see right now at the presidential level, and they aren't talking about what the people want, but it's much more self-absorbed, that discourages, I think, some people from voting. That's why I believe in referendum and petition and the opportunity to vote on issues. The next wave of reform for voting rights is voting on issues, especially in this state. To put it in perspective, in the United Kingdom, Parliament will examine a proposal if 100,000 people sign a petition. And President Obama adopted something called We the People, where if folks, 100,000 signatures come in, they'll examine the issue. So we got to use the tools of direct democracy and now online democracy to encourage more participation by people in their own government. And so I think we need to commit ourselves in Illinois as a special place in America with our bicentennial coming in 2018 to show the whole country how to improve participation by people in their local government and in their state government all across the board.
Thank you. We have two more questions. They were submitted by Marjorie Fritz Birch and Bob Reamer and Elise Sy Nybar. Basically, they said, if you ran for governor and or mayor of the city of Chicago, what would be your top priority, either as governor or as mayor?
Well, if you're governor, you have to pass a budget. And I did six of those. And the last budget I prepared, we had passed a law that said the governor should not just talk about the coming year's budget, but really put a blueprint together for the next several years. And I put together a five-year blueprint for doing what's necessary with our funds in Illinois. And that budget, if it had passed, my opponent was strongly against it, but we would today be on a 30-day cycle to pay our bills. We wouldn't have an avalanche, a mountain of bills that are unpaid, billions of dollars. We'd be on a 30-day cycle of paying the bills just like businesses are. We would pay our pension every year, the proper actuarial amount. I did that as governor. It was very hard to do for 6 years, but we did it every year. My predecessors did not, and that's what caused all the problems here with our pension, having enough money in the pension fund. But under the budget I prepared, we would have not only paid the bills, we would have paid the pension. We would have given a $500 a year annual refund to every single homeowner in the state. Every year, $500 refund. There are 2 million homeowners in Illinois. They talk about property tax freeze. If they adopted the budget I had outlined, this year, people would have already gotten $1,500 in property tax refunds, not a freeze, an actual refund on their property taxes. And we also would have invested in schools like never before, investing in K-12, doubling the number of scholarships at the higher education level. It's a program called Monetary Award Program. And then we also would have put $1.5 billion into early childhood. And finally, we would have given tax relief to working families, raising children, the Earned Income Tax Credit, and we would have helped a lot of people. But it didn't pass. The other side won. It's, to me, very regrettable because Illinois would be in much better financial shape if they had followed the plan I outlined. And so I would hope that someday that will come to pass. As far as the mayor goes, I think the most important reform is term limits on the mayor. 8 years is enough. Thank you.
Okay, one last question. Candidate Trump has said that the election process is rigged. In any way, did you feel that you're losing or the election process is rigged at all? How would you respond to that charge?
Well, I don't think that's helpful at all to democracy. You know, when you think back on it to the year 2000, a fateful decision was made by our U.S. Supreme Court, Bush v. Gore, where five judges decided who won the election. And Al Gore, who did not prevail, nonetheless, because he loved America and loved our democracy, accepted. He didn't agree, but he accepted the decision of the court in that election. I think that's the model to follow. When you lose elections, it's no fun. But there are many things to do in life. You haven't died, and I think it's important. And I'm sure there are maybe, in the coming couple of years, there may be some politicians that wish I had won for governor because I wouldn't be doing as much petition passing. Thank you very much.
Don't go. Thank you, Governor Quinn.